strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A great spiritual malady of our day is loneliness, isolation. A good deal of ink is spilled each day on think pieces about what the cause of this problem could be. Too many cell phones, not enough free time, the culture's basic message of self-reliance, and don't get me wrong, an explanation of the source of loneliness and isolation, that is a good thing. Who am I to argue with the importance of an explanation? But I think that the spiritual malady of isolation, it cries out not so much for explanations, but solutions. Spiritual malady of loneliness, it cries out not so much for answers, but accompaniment. And if I might go out on a limb, I think that if we are looking for solutions about what to do with our spiritual maladies, we might look to the Bible. Controversial coming from one like me, I know, but there it is. In the Gospels, there are a number of what could be called the I am statements. Particularly in the Gospel of John, these are each important statements from Jesus explaining about who he is and what his ministry is all about. I am the light of the world, he says. This speaks to the deep human need to be able to see and understand the world. Anyone who has stumbled around in the darkness or spent a night alone in the woods afraid of the dark would know the value of light. I am the resurrection and the life. This speaks directly to the ultimate question of the destiny of all humanity. Anyone who has been separated from a loved one by death or who has had to look square in the face of their own mortality knows the meaning of the promise of resurrection. Jesus, his I am statements, the emotional resonances are immediate and potent, or at least they should be, until you get to today's passage. I am the good shepherd. And this one, it's not quite as easy to parse out, not for me anyway. For 21st century folk living in a city, this one takes a little bit more explaining, more so than does the importance of light, for example. Particularly the part about how sheep are supposed to be in a sheepfold. That takes a little bit of unpacking. Sheep in a sheepfold, this image, this metaphor, this parable, it would have made perfect sense to those living 20 centuries ago in Israel. The emotional resonances would be immediate and potent. But for a guy like me who grew up in Chicago in the 80s, not so much. But luckily, I know someone who knows exactly what a sheepfold is and why it is so important. And that is my wife, Heather. She didn't grow up on a farm or anything. She grew up in Brooklyn. She grew up on egg creams and bialys, not shepherds, crooks, and sheepdogs. But nevertheless, 20 years ago, found her working as a shepherd in western Massachusetts, in the Berkshires. Now, I don't mean a figurative shepherd. I mean a literal herder of sheep, 300-some-odd Icelandic sheep, to be specific. But this sheep farm, it was just getting started. They were just getting set up. They didn't have anything ready. And for the 6 months or so that Heather worked there, there was one critical piece of sheep herding equipment that Heather and her sheep did not have. A sheepfold. Now, a sheepfold is a wood or stone enclosure with walls about like 3 or 4 feet high. And the lack of this sheepfold caused no end of trouble. They had just this weak portable electric fence that the more motivated sheep would constantly break through in order to go off and pursue their sheepy dreams of greener pastures just on the other side of the fence. And on one occasion, this meant that the whole flock broke loose and ran off into a nature preserve. Now, these unwitting sheep did not understand that the fence stopped them from going into the nature preserve because the nature preserve was filled with quicksand. Did you know that there's quicksand in Massachusetts? I sure didn't. Heather sure didn't. Those sheep sure didn't. They lost some of the sheep, and they had to rescue some of the others, but rescuing sheep from quicksand is itself a pretty good way to get one's own person sucked into quicksand. All that trouble because they didn't have a good sheepfold. And a sheepfold isn't just for quicksand either. A sheepfold is all you really need to protect the sheep from even the most tenacious predators, and it does so in a clever way. In Jesus' day, the sheepfold was there because of the threat of wolves. For Heather and her sheep, the predators were coyotes. But how are you going to keep the coyotes away from your sheep with just a 3 or 4 foot high fence? Coyotes can jump pretty high, certainly higher than 3 or 4 feet. That's the thing. The wall of a sheepfold doesn't need to be tall enough to stop coyotes from jumping over it. It just needs to be tall enough to keep the sheep from jumping over it. And sheep can't jump very high. A sheepfold doesn't keep the coyotes out. It keeps the sheep in. It keeps the sheep together. By keeping the sheep together, they can't be scattered. Old sheep and sick sheep and lambs, they can't be singled out. They can't be scattered and singled out and picked off by predators because the enclosure keeps them together. And so night after night, week after week, month after month, all the sheep would be safe just because of a sheepfold, because they couldn't be scattered. Now everybody listening to Jesus spin this metaphor about sheepfolds, they would have understood all too well the value of keeping a flock together and the danger of having the flock scattered. But while many of Jesus' listeners did herd literal sheep, Jesus isn't talking about sheep. This is a parable. The sheep stand in for people, and the sheepfold stand in for something too. The sheepfold stands in for the community of faith, for beloved community where people stick together, becoming something stronger than one individual, something that will keep them from being scattered or leaving the vulnerable to fend for themselves when there are wolves abroad in the world. I think a great spiritual malady of our day is loneliness, isolation. I know that it is not a particularly surprising word to come from a minister, but I think that something we should take from this is that you should be involved in the church. You should be a part of the church community. It serves the function of a sheepfold. It keeps us from being scattered and alone. We help and care for one another in ways that matter deeply. Loneliness and isolation, these things, they are painful at the best of times. And in the hard times, they lead down the roads of death. When one among us is sick, others can and will come around them. Every joint in the human body that can be replaced, people in the church have had them replaced. They will know what you are going through. If this is something that is coming up for you, then you will find care here. Every kind of chemo and radiation under the sun, people here have undergone it. They will share tips and tricks such as there are and offer a knowing, loving prayer for those sufferings that cannot be evaded. Every kind of grief, we have undergone it. If it were within my power to spare you causes to grieve, I would, but of course I cannot. We cannot. Causes to grieve will come to each of us. So we are not alone. Faith does not prevent us from suffering or finding grief or grief finding us. Faith does not prevent that. But faith does offer community. It does mean that you can be a part of a people, that your grieving needn't be alone, that you needn't be scattered. I cannot keep the wolves or the coyotes or the viruses out, and no one can stop the march of days. There isn't a wall ever made that is high enough and thick enough to prevent us and protect us from all the troubles of the world. The church doesn't keep out the troubles and dangers of the world. The church isn't a fortress. The church is a sheepfold. It keeps us together. The strong among us who are strong one day and weak another day. The strong among us stand alongside the weak. The well among us stand with the sick, knowing that wellness is not forever. Be a part of the church. If you are sick, we are glad that you are here. We cannot be the church without you. If you are well, we are glad that you are here. We cannot be the church without you. If you are grieving, we are glad that you are here. We cannot be the church without you. If you are celebrating, we are glad that you are here. We cannot be the church without you. That is what I want you to know. We cannot be the church without you. Be a part of this community. Come alongside these people. Be accompanied. We cannot be the church. Not without you. Thanks be to God. Amen.